We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
I have been very opposed to TikTok.
How do we, say, limit the protesting?
The government limit the protesting.
We've now had an opportunity to move his platform to be more progressive.
All the way back in January was the first person out there to say, Mr. President, a pandemic's on its way.
I don't agree with you that cannabis is not related to this.
Everyone knows mail-in ballots are a disaster.
Mr. President, next time you come, we're going to do a boat parade instead.
Love the boat that drove past the space capsule yesterday after it splashed down, waving the big Trump flag behind it. Went right through the network news coverage of it. They had to love that. They're like, cut to black, cut to black. They didn't want to show that, but they had to. Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad you are with us on this beautiful Monday morning. It is Election Eve. That's a big deal. My voter guide is up on the website, 971talk.com/Cox. You can go to the Facebook page to find out more about it. We've got a couple of the candidates on this hour. Rebecca McKelvey and Mark Montavani are going to join us later this hour. But right now, let's get to Rodney Boyd, please. Of course, host of Insider Talk on Sundays. Rodney, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, man. It is indeed Election Eve. I appreciate you keeping the focus on it. It's obviously extremely important, and there's so many issues for us to talk about.
Yeah, including Medicaid expansion, and I keep telling people it's a no on two. That's my point of view on it anyway. What I keep hearing people say, whether it's Americans for Tax Reform or our Scott Fitzpatrick, who I heard the other day talking about it, it's an unfunded mandate that the taxpayers are going to have to foot the bill for one way or the other.
Yeah, and that's the fiscal argument that's pushing up against the very personal sort of contemporary issue of people today being very worried about things. And so you and I've talked about this for a while. The campaign for the proponents, they've outspent the opponents. I think the number is probably in some cases maybe 10 to 1. So for every dollar to make the point you made, there's probably been $10 to make the point, no, we need to go ahead and expand because it's going to give everybody at a certain set. Well, 200,000 more people will go onto the state, be eligible. Be eligible to go onto the state Medicaid rolls. So the point you make is one that is a fiscal point that people are saying, well, if you do that, what do you cut? Where do you reallocate money in a tight fiscal budget already? That argument is a real one, and it's an important one. And my fear is that it won't prevail tomorrow. And if it doesn't, then we're going to have some very tough conversations, which is what you've been hearing from a number of elected statewide. That,
sure,
look, people vote this in tomorrow because they're voting in what they believe is their personal interest. The consequences are going to be even more dire to their personal interests when we look at cutting other things or how we reallocate.
Well, I'm glad.
That's a very real challenge when you do these things through initiative petition.
Hundreds.
Whether it's this or because people don't really have a debate about it in terms of understanding pros and cons. It's a lot of sort of big messages simple messages and motive. And I understand people get frustrated and want to go past the traditional process because they don't like what it takes in the process. But the more we do this kind of stuff where we go outside and do an initiative petition, the more you get these kind of unintended consequences, almost unaddressed consequences.
That's a great point, Rodney. I'm glad that you pointed that out. The initiative petition process needs to be reformed. They still haven't. Maybe that's what they should be working on in the legislature right now. I mean, honestly, that's something we've got to deal with, and nobody seems to want to take it head on or by the horns and say you need to raise the threshold on how you do this. Because if people pass this tomorrow, the taxpayers in Missouri will be on the hook for $200 or $300 million. That's going to have to come from somewhere. It's not new money. It's money from the existing budget that's got to come out of something else, or they have to go back and raise taxes. It's going to be one of those two things. So people just need to realize that when they go in the voting booth and vote no on Amendment 2 tomorrow.
We also know, Mark, people are not real big on raising taxes in this state. So the cutting is probably more viable than the raising taxes.
Which is why they've elected the legislators that they've elected. I mean, quite frankly, that's why these people had to go to an initiative petition to get this passed. Let me talk quickly about some of the other issues that are on the ballot tomorrow, particularly here in the city. Kim Gardner versus Mary Pat Carl in this primary. There's a poll out by the Missouri Scout which only shows Gardner with about a 7 or 8 point lead in this race, but 16% of the people are undecided. My guess is Mary Pat Carl wins this tomorrow.
Well, the real question is always who turns out. Of that 16% undecided, what percentage shows up and what do they do when they get to the voting box? With the uptick in violence and people sort of wanting to see some change, that should bode well for Mary Pat Carl. But this is a rematch. Mary Pat Carl ran against Kim Gardner the first time and lost. Kim Gardner, her name ID, like it or not, is higher than Mary Pat Carl. So it really gets down to what percentage of that 16% show up and vote. And, you know, there should be no reason tomorrow that if you're a registered voter in the city and you care about what's happening, that you don't go to the polls. I look forward to a look back next week with you and I talking not just about who won, but voter turnout. The stakes, as we always say, could never be higher because every election day they can never be higher. So yes. Really, let's see who shows up tomorrow in both the city and the county races and some of the other important regional races.
Well, because, as you know, I just had my friend Paul Berry on there at the end of the hour, and I've been one of the people advocating for conservatives in the county, for Republicans who are hacked off at how Sam Page has handled the back-to-school issue and the shutdown of businesses and the hampering of the economy, that the biggest chance they have to impact that is to ask for a Democratic ballot when they go to the polls tomorrow and vote against Sam Page. Now, Paul has some issues with that because, obviously, he's on the Republican primary tomorrow, although he doesn't have a very strong opponent. And you know, clearly he's got a preference on who he might like to run against.
Yeah, and he also would like to have his numbers go up because that will help him in the general. So if people pull the D ballot and his numbers are low, it doesn't create the kind of momentum he's looking for in November. So he probably would be a little resistant to that approach. It goes to this point, when people go vote tomorrow, when your listeners go vote tomorrow in Missouri, we don't have to register anymore. We used to have to register at what party. You walk in the ballot box, you can make a decision in real time. They're going to ask you what ballot you want. You don't have to declare ahead of time. That allows for what you're talking about, people who may have an issue, an idea, a perspective, or just feel like on that day they want to vote in an alternative primary than where they self-identify, to pull a ballot and vote for whomever they choose. That creates another level of uncertainty in our state when it comes to polling, because people get polled as one thing, but they can go vote in the primary as another. You know, another interesting race that people will be watching is there any momentum for this young lady, Corey Bush, who's been all over the airwaves? She's taking on incumbent Lacey Clay. He beat her by about 18, 20 points last time. People feel like he's destined to win, but there have been a few upsets, Mark, in some of these from the left in some of these primaries across the country, including New York most recently. So people will be watching that race to see, is there a real sort of move on the left to unseat traditional Democrat candidates. I think Lacey Clay is okay, but it'll be interesting to see the difference between her race this time and the last time.
Well, and interestingly, you know, as Gene Evans pointed out from the Republican Party the other day, I believe Cori Bush and Kim Gardner probably and Nicole Galloway got the endorsement of Elizabeth Warren, right?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So that's an interesting twist for progressives.
I'm not so sure that people in St. Louis are guided by Elizabeth Warren, but they did get the endorsement. They touted the endorsement. And so for whatever that does on the left, hey, if those turnout numbers are low, I think that wave will sort of have plateaued and fallen off the cliff. If those numbers are high, if we see an upset, then we'll know it matters. But that's one of those things we're going to be watching tomorrow. And I know that you got Mr. Mantovani coming up, which is very interesting to hear his take on the fact that I believe over the weekend, the incumbent, Page, picked up the endorsement of Slay and Dooley, two names we hadn't really heard on an election day for a while, but they have reemerged endorsing Sam Page. And it'd be interesting to be listening to hear what Mr. Mantovani thinks.
I'm sorry.
He thinks that would have.
Former city mayor Slay endorsed Sam Page?
Yes. Oh, it's a big endorsement. He and Dooley joined forces. And it'll be interesting to hear Mr. Mantovani reflect on what he thinks that means for his race.
Yeah, I don't know about you, Rodney. I mean, I heard some polling out late last week, Democrat polling anyway, that showed this is a very tight three-way race between Mantovani and Zimmerman and Page, but it was Democrats who were polled. And it didn't take into consideration the fact that Republicans could pull a Democrat ballot and have an influence on this race.
I'm glad you pointed that out because, as I just said, you could be a Republican and walk into that ballot tomorrow as a county resident, and you could determine who the next executive will be by pulling a Democrat ballot. We know that that happens.
Yes.
The question will be to what extent it happens tomorrow. I think it might be substantial, but we will see. This is why these elections matter, and this is why you and I talk about these elections with such excitement and energy, because they're big issues that will reshape the region.
Here was Sam Page's blunder, I think, when history writes what happens tomorrow. His decision to shut down youth sports will backfire on him. Those 30 or 40,000 people whose kids were affected by that decision are going to go to the polls tomorrow, and they're going to vote against Sam Page. And a lot of parents who want their kids back in school 5 days a week, I think, are going to do the same thing. So, Rodney, I've got to cut us a little short today. I appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Rodney Boyd, host of Insider Talk. Sundays, of course, noon to 1 here on 971 FM Talk. So it is a big election tomorrow, not just in St. Louis City and County, statewide, because we got to defeat this Medicaid expansion. But there are also some very interesting other races out there. One of the candidates that I met the other night is Judge Rebecca McKelvey, who's joining us right now. And Rebecca, welcome into the program.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Just to let people know, you are running for a judgeship out in St. Charles County. Tell us about it.
That's right. I'm an associate circuit judge in St. Charles County, and I'm running for division after a retirement from another judge on our bench.
Right. And you are currently a judge, correct?
Correct. I'm an associate circuit judge in St. Charles County.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Your phone cut out there on me for some reason. I apologize for that. I want to make sure.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I want to make sure people heard that. So I'm at a fundraiser for Justin Hill out in St. Charles County the other night, and I had an opportunity to have a conversation with Rebecca, who was there. Fascinating life story, and I wanted to have you on, for, among other reasons, to let us you tell us in your own words why you're running for this higher judgeship, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about your background and what has shaped your life view at this point.
Sure. Well, you know, I think we need servant leadership in our county. You know, people that understand that the job is really to serve the community. And I've done that. I was a career prosecutor, both in St. Louis City and later in St. Charles County when I was a sex crimes child abuse prosecutor. And, you know, it's, I think it's time when this opportunity presents itself to go to the next level. And the real deepest reason is just my absolute love for this country. It has given me a life that would not be possible anywhere else in the world. It's one of the few places where who you know or where you come from doesn't really matter. It's what you do with the opportunities presented before you. And so I really feel a profound need to give of my best to the people of St. Charles County, where I've lived for the past 20 years.
I think that's fantastic. And just so people know, your American dream and the fact that you're fulfilling it, give them an idea. You mentioned there briefly, but you moved here from Nicaragua as a young child to escape the Sandinistas down there, correct?
That's exactly right. My family and I lived in Managua, Nicaragua. That's where I was born and my parents. And in 1980, for those of you that remember Ollie North and the Iran-Contra affair and
sure,
all that,
sure.
The Sandinistas, you know, took over the country and imposed communism. And, you know, a lot of the scary social changes that we're seeing today were seen there. And my parents did not want me to grow up in a godless environment where God was replaced by the state, where private businesses were nationalized and private property was seized. And we were involved in a violent revolution where, you know, 50,000 people died and 150,000 people who were lucky enough to escape and live in exile. And I was one of them. I was blessed to come here because an uncle of mine was a citizen, and I became an American citizen in 1986 and on July 3rd. And my parents, my mom had been a lawyer, and my dad had been an architect and had a real nice life. And we went from that to living in a rental trailer in Columbia, Missouri. But because in the United States, where you start out has nothing to do with where you'll end up, in just a few short years, we became homeowners and eventually business owners. We owned a Mandarin Chinese restaurant in the middle of Jefferson City. So Hispanic people kept cooking Chinese food. That's how America works. And, you know, I went to the University of Missouri Columbia. I worked at Armstrong Teasdale, one of the best law firms in the state. And because the American people give everyone a chance who has personal responsibility and good work ethic. And, this place is incredible, and that's why I want to give back.
Well, I tell you what, it's a great story, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit of that with us this morning. I wanted people to hear that. That's a story that's not told often enough in the mainstream media these days for people to hear success stories like yours. I'm talking with Judge Rebecca McKelvey. She's a candidate for circuit judge out in St. Charles County tomorrow. So is that on the countywide ballot then, Rebecca?
It is. It is on the countywide Republican ballot.
In St. Charles County for tomorrow, so that's good.
Correct.
All right.
Everywhere in St. Charles County.
Very good. And you can go to JudgeRebeccaMcKelvey.com if you want to find out more. She's also on Facebook. And listen, best of luck, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your audience. You have a wonderful day.
You bet. Take care of yourself. Appreciate that, Judge Rebecca McKelvey. I told her when she told me that story, I'm like, I've got to let you come on the radio and talk about that. That is fantastic.
Yeah, that's a good one.
To escape the communist Sandinistas and then come to this country and become a successful attorney and a judge. And she's got to be as frightened as everybody else to look at the direction some of the folks on the left want to drag this country right now back in that direction towards socialism. I mean, it's amazing. So, again, just a quick reminder, the voter's guide is up on the website, 971talk.com/Cox. You can find it there. You can go to the Facebook page, The Mark Cox Show on Facebook. If you go to the Facebook page, a couple things. Be sure and like the page. That way, when we take the show live every morning, you'll get a notification. If we do other Facebook lives, as in when they shave my head, you'll get the notification. And you can also click on the link there to vote on the Make Mark Bald campaign for Backstoppers. It's all for a great cause. All the money goes directly to Backstoppers, but once they hit the $5,000 mark, I will get my head shaved at a hair salon near me.
Whee!
I'm breaking out awesome. In a cold sweat again. Can I just tell you that?
You'll be okay, probably.
Hey, when we come back, we will talk to Mark Montavani, Democrat candidate for county executive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So tomorrow is a big deal election-wise because we got the statewide Medicaid expansion issue. Was glad to hear an ad running on this station because, you know, if you heard Rodney Boyd earlier, he pointed out that the pro-Medicaid expansion money has probably been 10 to 1 against the people that oppose it. Mm-hmm. There's big money, most of it out of state, that wants to flip Missouri to Medicaid expansion. So just understand the forces that are going on here and understand that I'm telling you to vote no on two tomorrow. Voter's Guide is online. You can go there and check it out. Right now we've got one of the candidates for St. Louis County Executive, Mark Montavani, joining us on the phone. Mark, good morning.
Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. A little busy today, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, making the final pitch, so to speak.
You know, I was looking at your website here, Mark, as we get ready for this vote tomorrow, and I understand it's a close race. You've gotten endorsements from the American Federation of Teachers local. I see here the County Police Association, the Carpenters Union. A lot of folks have come in and gotten behind your campaign. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's dissatisfaction with the career politicians and the fact that they haven't been able to come to grips with our fundamental challenges as a community, Mark. You know, my two primary or principal candidates in the primary, Sam Page and Jake Zimmerman, have been in office for 10 or 15 years between them, and our community's challenges have only been exacerbated during that period of time. You know, we continue to decline. And we've got these political leaders who really just show up around election time, and then they take office, and nothing changes, and the community continues to decline relative to our competition, which are other communities across the Midwest. And I think most of those organizations that you identified there are supporting me primarily because they believe I have the potential to create economic progress in the region, economic growth, which is the most fundamental issue that we have. We have a lot of social challenges in our community, you know, with crime and poverty and bad educational outcomes and whatnot. But if we don't create a growing economy here, we don't have the resources to even deal with those things. And so people recognize that I've been a job creator, that I understand economics and business, and they recognize that if our community doesn't get with the program in terms of creating a better, stronger economic base, we have very, very limited future.
So what does that mean, Mark? Because, you know, I know that at least a couple of folks have pointed out the perception is by some folks on the, let's say, center or center right side of the spectrum that you were pro-merger. To explain that to people.
There are people who try to misrepresent my position on this because I have advocated for the fact that we have to come together in order to compete against, you know, Nashville and Kansas City and Indianapolis and these places that are sort of kicking our butt from an economic development standpoint. We have got to communicate with the nation as a region, but that does not involve some sort of super regional government or the merger of the city and county or any such thing, which I've spoken out against, you know, 100 times. these are a lot of times these are just political attack ads trying to mischaracterize what my position is on this thing. Again, I'm not in favor of merging the city and the county, and but we do have to think a little bit more regionally if we're going to compete against our real competition. People in St. Louis County, look, our competition isn't the city of St. Louis. Our competition is Nashville and Kansas City. And by the way, Kansas City is coming after us with everything that they've got. And if we don't wake up and start putting a stronger presence forward, we're going to lose the little bit of prominence that we have left in this community.
Mark Montavani, my guest, candidate for St. Louis County Executive tomorrow in the Democratic primary. So Sam Page has, I'll just be honest, hacked a lot of people off with his approach on this COVID situation with youth sports, with recommending schools not open and do it all online. What are your positions on those issues?
Well, so the reason that Sam Page is in trouble on this stuff is more a function of the way he goes about making the decisions than it is anything else. You know, he goes it alone all the time. He dictates. He doesn't collaborate with anybody. He sort of operates like Moses. You know, he comes down from the mountaintop and tells everybody the way it's supposed to be, the way we're supposed to live our lives. And maybe that's a function of this medical school training, you know, where doctors are encouraged to think about the fact that they're going to be in charge. You know, doctors aren't even permitted to run their own hospital. Their hospitals where they work because they're not taught to collaborate with folks. The mistakes that Sam Page has made have been around the fact that he didn't communicate, collaborate with businesses on business issues. He didn't collaborate with parents or coaches or athletic facility operators relative to kids' sports. He's not collaborating with parents effectively around school attendance and virtual learning issues and whatnot. And so I think that a lot of these decisions need to be made in collaboration and with the people who are affected by them, not just some dictator coming down from on high telling people how they've got to live their lives.
So if you got elected, Mark, I'm assuming at this point, I'm going to assume the makeup of county council stays the same. You would have a majority of Democrats in charge of county council. What they've done is basically given Mr. Page or Dr. Page, a free rein to do whatever he wants with the $180 million in federal money for COVID. Would you maintain that? Do you support that?
No, first of all, I would have included the county council. I mean, look, isn't that our system of government? I mean, we have checks and balances in our government for a reason. We have an executive. We have a legislative branch. The county council is a legislative branch. The county council should have always been consulted relative to allocation of those funds. And the reason that Sam Page pushed for this was because he wanted to be able to use those funds for his political campaign to distribute the funds wherever he thought he needed support in order to get reelected.
Would you have shut down youth sports?
No. What I would have done is I would have tried to find a way where each sport was evaluated separately and rules around keeping kids safe were identified, determined, agreed to by the coaches, the parents, and whatnot. What I would have not said is all sports are off limit. I mean, clearly, kids playing volleyball are engaged in a different level of contact, or kids playing baseball, from kids playing football and whatnot. Rules need to be related to the kind of contact, the kind of drill, the kind of exposure that people have. And the health department doesn't know that. They don't know the difference between kids playing volleyball and kids playing soccer and whatnot. So this is where this failure to collaborate ruins the outcome, and it causes the community to lose confidence in the decisions that are made. A lot of this reaction is a function of the realization that there was no real thought given to how this could be managed in a better way. Everything with Sam Page is either on or off. You know, he turns the switch on or off. There needs to be more of a dimmer switch here. There needs to be a little bit more of a focus on how can we keep kids safe and still not force them to lose those parts of their lives that they value so much.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, Mark, before we run out of time here. You know, I think we have one of the best, and I think that probably if you look at rankings around the country, one of the best St. Louis County Police Department ranks as one of the best in the country. Dr. Page has been accused of playing a little bit of politics with who's going to be the chief, and that's drawn a little bit of controversy here recently. And he's also ordered a top-down review of the county police department, as in suggesting that there's something wrong with the county police. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, policing is changing across America. There is nothing wrong with trying to evaluate how we can police better. The police association that endorsed me recognizes that there is a time for innovation and evolution, additional training. We all want to get better at our jobs. So I don't have any problem with somebody saying, look, we're going to try to figure out how we can get better at our jobs. I do have a problem with sort of the implication that because there's a bad cop in Minneapolis, we've got a lot of bad cops in St. Louis County. This sort of assessment that cops are bad as a general rule of thumb annoys me, frankly, because my experience is quite the opposite. And look, when Sam Page wants to play politics with the police, he orders a top-down review, and he says he can do that. On the other hand, he says, I have nothing to do with who they picked as police chief. Man, you can't have it both ways. Either you're running it or you're not. You can't run it whenever you're trying to make political hay and then run for cover whenever a decision comes out that costs you political capital. It's one way or the other, man.
Yep. MarkForSt.Louis.com. That's M-A-R-K. Spells it the wrong way. That's okay. It's not M-A-R-K for StLouis.com.
I spell it like a working guy does. You spell it like a rich Frenchman.
I hear you.
Look, people have got to vote. All right, this is going to be another cliffhanger tomorrow.
Yeah.
I want to encourage your listeners, whatever side of this thing they come down on, they've got to get out and vote. I lost a cliffhanger 2 years ago, and it is imperative that as many people get out and vote tomorrow as possible. It's supposed to be a beautiful day. No excuse. If we want to take control of our county government and create change and progress in this region that we've been lacking for decades, people got to vote, man.
Mark Montavani, thanks for your time and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks so much, Mark. Have a great day.
You bet. Yeah, appreciate that. Again, at Mark4STL on Twitter, MarkForSt.Louis.com. Download the voter guide. You heard him there. There's your alternative to Dr. Sam Page in the Democrat primary tomorrow. 314-241-9797. We'll get to your calls coming up. All right, coming up, we're going to have Jesse Jane Duff and Tom Ackerman in the next hour. Hope you can stay tuned for that. If you missed our interview with Mark Montavani, we'll have that up on the web for you here before long. The voter guide is up, 971talk.com/Cox. Those are my picks for tomorrow. So if you need a little guidance or you need a little background on these issues like Medicaid expansion, please go there and read up on it. Be an educated voter tomorrow. Even if you feel like Medicaid expansion, is a heartwarming idea, you need to understand if you vote for it, something's getting cut or your taxes are going up. The legislature won't have a choice. It's going to be an unfunded mandate to the tune of about $300 million a year. So $3 billion over the next 10 years. That money's got to come from somewhere. It's either coming out of education or transportation or law enforcement or something, but they got to get the money somewhere if you make that choice tomorrow. So I'm a no on two, just so you know. Go to the website, check it out. When we come back, we'll check in with Jesse Jane Duff, and we'll talk to Tom Ackerman about the Cardinals and the Blues. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.